Hi, I'm Richard, the founder of 10 Adventures, and this is the 10 Adventures podcast. Each week, we talk to real people about real adventures as they explore this incredible planet we all live on.
Today on the 10 Adventures podcast, I'm excited to be talking with Christian Alvarado, owner of Go to Andes, an adventure tour operator in Juarez, Peru. Today, we're going to talk about how to explore the stunning Cordillera Blanca and Cordillera Huayhuash. Welcome, Christian.
Hello, Richard. It's a pleasure to have with you. It's a pleasure also for me to meet by this way.
Yeah, I've been excited for this podcast. I had a wonderful trip just before I got married in Bolivia and northern Peru. And so in preparing for this, I was looking back at some of my photos. And I'm just excited to talk about this because it's such a wonderful area to explore. But a lot of people don't know much about Cordillera Blanca or the Huayhuash in northern Peru. Can you kind of just explain whereabouts in Peru are these two incredible mountain ranges?
So in Peru, we have, as you know, the most of the part of Cordillera de los Andes is located in Peru. So one of that mountain range is Cordillera Blanca, and it has around 180 kilometers long. And other mountain range close to Cordillera Blanca is the Cordillera Huayhuash. It is very short, but it's just 30 kilometers, but it's very spectacular. Both mountain ranges are located in the northern of Peru. So as you know, Lima is the capital of Peru. And all the flights from abroad arrive first in Lima. From Lima to Huaraz takes 8 hours by buses. And with flying, it takes just 1 hour. So getting in Huaraz, we can visit the Cordillera Blanca and Cordillera Huayhuash. In both mountain ranges, we have options to make trekking, camping, rock climbing, ice climbing, and different more outdoor activities.
You mentioned Juarez. It's a pretty fun city. Does it make a good base for people, you know, who are going to come and do a trek or explore either of these great mountain ranges?
Most of the people consider Juarez city as the mecca of adventure travels in South America, because making a base here in Juarez can explore different mountain ranges, especially Cordillera Blanca, Cordillera Huayhuash, and we have other small mountain ranges like Raura, Huallanca, and other more can be accessed. They can access from Huaraz City.
Now, when I went, I explored the Huayhuash. I think I spent 3 or 4 days just acclimatizing in Huaraz because it's so high, you know, when you go onto these treks. And I remember doing like little day hikes around Huaraz. Is that something that's still really commonly done, that, you know, people spend a few days in Juarez beforehand just to get used to the altitude?
Yeah, as Juarez is located at 3,000 meters above sea level, it's a special place also to adapt to the altitude. So here from Juarez, we have many day tours that can be done from here. We have lakes, viewpoints, and archaeological place that can be get in 1 day from Huaraz, and that helps to people to adapt to the altitude. And most of the people who make a trek in the Cordillera Blanca and in Cordillera Huayhuash stay at least 2 or 3 nights here in Huaraz, making their hikes before to depart for the trek that they choose.
And so kind of the big three treks in the area are the Alpamayo, the Santa Cruz, and then just, you know, trekking throughout the Huayhuash. I was wondering, maybe you can describe the difference between the three treks.
Exactly. You mentioned that Santa Cruz and Alpamayo and Huayhuash are the three of the most important hiking trails that can be made from Huaraz. That is right. I will start describing from the short to the longest. From Santa Cruz takes 4 days and 3 nights. And it's located at the north of Huaraz, also at the north of Cordillera Blanca. It is very interesting, and I think it's the most popular trekking trails in Cordillera Blanca because it is short, and making it, we can see the most important peaks of Cordillera Blanca. And also it's necessary to mention that Cordillera Blanca is the highest tropical mountain in the world. And if you make that trek, you will visit the highest peaks of the tropics. Making it, we can see Huascarán, 6,760 meters above sea level. It's the highest peak of the Peru and of the tropics. Also, we can see the south side of Alpamayo, one of the nicest peaks of the world. And we can see Chacrarajo, we can see Tauyirajo and different mountains. Making this trek, we walk slowly. We have something like good adaptation to the altitude because we start at 2,900 meters and in a small village called Cachapampa. From there, we walk for around 5 hours to get to the first campsite that's located to 3,750 meters. So the dust level is not high. And after the second day, we walk for another 5 or 6 hours to get to close to the pass. After 2 days, we cross the highest point. The highest point's name is Punta Unión. And from there, we cross to a valley. So it helps even to the people who doesn't have experience to make slowly and adapting gradually to the altitude. And also making this trek, besides to see the mountains, there's no capped peaks, we have the options to see lakes, to see the flora and fauna of this part of the region. In general, in average, it takes just 5 to 6 hours per day, but making stops and photos or to make breaks, we can make 6 or 7 hours per day. So it's slowly, and it's not necessary to have experience. The most important to make this trek is to have a good adaptation to the altitude. With a couple of days of acclimatization in Huaraz, you can make without any problem this hike. Santa Cruz, the highest point is 4,750 meters.
And what's the highest elevation you get to on the Santa Cruz?
The highest point where we camp is 4,250 meters, Tauyipampa.
It's still high, but as you mentioned, if you acclimatize in Juarez and you go out hiking up high each day but sleep in town, and then you're gaining, it sounds, 200 or 300 meters a night after the first night, it sounds like it's a very kind of prudent way to not get too high too quick, because obviously people that try and rush a trek at altitude, you can get altitude sickness, and then your trek is over, you're back down in Juarez if you try and go too fast.
Yeah, that's this regarding to Santa Cruz, and maybe for that reason most of the people prefer that road because relatively easy to access and can be made in just 4 days. And the other trek that you mentioned was Alpamayo trek that also it's located in the Cordillera Blanca. It's to the north of the Cordillera Blanca, next of Santa Cruz, and even some people mix with Santa Cruz. But in our case, we offer a circuit that starts in a place called Colcabamba, also located around 3,300 meters. And this trek takes around, usually we offer in 10 days, but there are people that want to spend a couple of days more in some campsites, can be made even in 12 days. But making in 10 days, this trekking route follows the trail around the Alpamayo. So it means we start in the north of that peak and we finish at the south of that peak. But on the way, we visit different peaks of that part of the Cordillera Blanca, of the north part of the Cordillera Blanca. And even making this trek, we have the option to visit a typical village in Hankarurish. It's a small rural community where people make their daily activities as they have been made in centuries ago. Also, the hike takes 5 to 6 hours per day, and camping in places above 4,000 meters. I think the lowest campsite is 3,700 meters, but most of them is above 4,000 meters. And the highest point where we walk is Caracara Pass. located at 4,830 meters. That is the highest point. Making this trek, the first goal to make this trek is to see the Alpa Mayo. In 1965, in a contest of pictures, that peak won as one of the nicest peaks in the world. It's pyramid shape. So making this trek, we come close to that place, to that phase. And we have one special day to visit the base camp of that peak. So we have a whole day to see the lake and that shape of the Alpa Mayo. So most of people try to make the picture that won the prize. As I said, it takes also 5 and 6 hours and making the breaks and walking slowly, it can be made in 6 or 7 hours per day.
One thing you mentioned, Christian, and I know when you look at a day's itinerary at altitude, you think, this isn't going to take me 6 hours. Like, we're only walking for 12 kilometers. We're only gaining 500 meters. But it's really incredible when you're at altitude how much slower you walk.
Yeah.
I've looked at itineraries. I'm like, this is stupid. We could do twice as much. But sure enough, when you're at 4,200 meters, everything is just, it's slower. And before you know it, yeah, it's afternoon and you haven't gone as far. So sometimes the itineraries look easy, but they're actually pretty tough days, even though they're short.
Yeah, exactly. The main concern on making a trek in the Cordillera Blanca or in Cordillera Guaywash is the altitude. So as you said, people can say, well, it takes only 10 kilometers in one day, but the complete circuit I can make in 5 days. Yeah, if it would be at sea level, even could be made in a couple of days. But we are talking a place about 4,000 meters, in close to 5,000. So they are breath slowly, and we need more energy. So there are different things. So that it's not easy to make a trek there, but a good preparation. Well, to make long treks like Alpa Mayo, it's necessary to be in shape and to have experience making multi-day hikes or have spent camping nights and a good acclimatization. Also, you can make Alpa Mayo trek. It is not extreme trek. It is we consider it as average, but if you have the correct preparation. When I say correct preparation, I mean that to be in shape, to make sports, to have a good adaptation, to make this trek. Also, we recommend at least a couple of days before in Huaraz making the hikes. But if you can make 3 days hike in Huaraz, it would be better. Yeah, in 3 days, according to our experience, the people who have made 3 days of acclimatization, they don't have problems. They can make the trek without any problem.
That's such a good piece of advice. Again, we're always rushing. You know, I only have 10 days of holiday, so I've got to fly to Lima, take the bus to Juarez. I only have a day of acclimatization. I want to get trekking. I think back my trekking in Nepal, and I decided to kind of walk in from the end of where the buses go. So I spent 3 weeks getting up to 3,500 meters, and I had no acclimatization issues at all because I'd spent so long, you know, hiking up high, coming down low, hiking up high, coming down low. It's almost the more time you can spend in Juarez acclimatizing, there's great day hikes. You can go and see beautiful parts of the world. But by coming back down, you're allowing your body to prepare. And then when you do go for your hike, you're not gasping for breath. You're not dealing with headaches. The actual trek is so much easier. You know, 3 days, 4 days, you know, 5 days, that's all going to help you have a more successful trek. Even though we want to rush, really, when you're at these altitudes, it makes sense to spend some extra time acclimatizing and just preparing.
Yeah, most of all the time that when we have when people ask us regarding to make a trek in this mountain range, we say the adaptation to altitude. Minimum, you must consider a couple of days. That is the minimum, because most of the people who make long day treks are people who come from abroad. If you don't consider to acclimatize at least a couple of days, you would lose all the trek. And it's better to spend a couple of days, or if you have 1 day more, in that way you will have success making that trek. But that would be our biggest advice. Now, the other trick that you mentioned was
whitewash.
Yeah, it's very popular in the people who make treks in the world. But in Peru, it's not known, because to make it, we need minimum 8 days to make the complete loop. So most of them don't make. So when we say make a whitewash trek, but where is whitewash? And where we explain to our people who are from Peru, and they say does that exist? Yes, it's here in Peru. And but people who make trek abroad, they know that whitewash is one of the nice treks in the Andes. As I said, it can be made in 8 days, in 10 days, and 12 days. And there are of course that there are people who want to spend more days. They can make even in 14 days or even more to explore extra place. But in our case, we offer usually in 12 days, making slowly and visiting extra places. As I said, Cordillera Huayhuash is a mountain range close to Cordillera Blanca. It's very small. It has only 30 kilometers. But the idea to make a hike here is to make a loop, starting one point and close to a village called Llamac, and to finish in Llamac village. It's complete a circle. And in those 12 days, we visit many lakes. And this mountain range is very, very wild. It's even the peaks are very steeped. And for that reason, just a couple of mountains can be climbed. Most of them are made for people who are very skilled. So people with experience, like people who, for example, they are in Huayhuash, also is located the second highest peak of the tropics, Yerupaja, 6,634 meters.
And I think the reason the Huayhuash is so well known is obviously Joe Simpson. I wrote the book Touching the Void, which that's where I first heard of it. And I'm like, the photos in the book, I thought, I've never seen mountains like this. Like it's high and it's desolate. It's rugged. And I feel like all of us who read that book said, we have to get to this place. That's probably what drives all the demand for the Huayhuash, just reading that incredible book.
One of the things why is known is also for the movie. Touching the Void, filmed in the mountain Ciula Grande. But Joey Simpson, who you have read the book, and in 12 days, we visit that place. We have one special day to camp in the same valley, and one day to explore the glacier and the road, how Joey Simpson arrived to the base camp. So if you have read the book, or if you have seen the movie, you can compare and you can imagine how he was there, all the adventure.
Yeah, and it must have been just completely wild then. You know, now there's lots of trekkers, but, you know, reading that book, there was nobody. It was, you know, a few mountaineers would go and try and do remote peaks, but it wasn't, you know, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, I'd imagine it was just empty in those valleys.
Yeah, because the access to Huayhuash was opened to most of people in the last 20 years. Before of that, in 1985, where happened the adventure of Joey Simpson with Touching the Void, the access were very, very difficult. People had to walk minimum 15 days. Those times, only expeditions made Huayhuash. Not like now, it's easy because there are many roads, but in 1980s or 99, just few people can make, because to get to Huayhuash was very, very difficult. But even with the access now, making the trek is relatively, we consider it's from moderate to hard, because the campsites are located at 4,000 meters, and even one of them is located at 4,500 meters. So it's higher than in Alpamayo or Santa Cruz. And we have almost every day one pass. We spend the night at 4,000. The next day we have walk up to 4,700 meters to go down to 4,200. Every day, go up, go down, go up, go down, go up. I think making the complete loop, we have, 10 passes. All the passes are about 4,600 meters. One of the pass is at 5,000 meters. So it's very high, it's very, very high. And for that reason, one time more, it's necessary to have a good acclimatization. To make whitewash, yes, it's recommended to be in shape. A couple of days or 3 days of have acclimatization before to make that trick will help you a lot.
When I did the whitewash, I'd been working kind of 7 days a week, 12 hours a day for a month and a half beforehand. I'd done no training. And it was so hard. It was the hardest trek I've ever done. And it seems like, 4,000 meters to 5,000 meters, it's not a big difference. But I remember I thought we reached just over 5,000 meters, and I could barely put one leg in front of the other. And I vowed I would never do another trek where I didn't get training beforehand. Because even if you're in good shape, if you show up there and you haven't, been out hiking and pushing yourself, it is a really, really tough trek.
Yeah, for that reason, we recommend them to be prepared physically. So if you want to make a trek, I recommend to practice before to be in shape. And there are some people who make without good preparation. So for that people, it will be difficult, but also they can make with the help of horses. But as the trail is, most of the part can be made on riding horses. But if you are of that people who want to make in that way, you will lose the most important places. For example, there are the three lakes. It's very known. If you can watch in internet, whitewash trek, most of the pictures that will appear will be of three lakes, of Cibula Grande or Jaguacocha. But if you make it with horse, you will not see that place because the horse cannot go. That shortcuts or that extra places, it can be accessed just walking. It's not possible to be made but using horse. For that reason, if you want to explore, to see all the most important places of whitewash, make hiking. Make hiking and to hike, we recommend to be in shape. You can practice from 2 or 3 months before to come here. And the other thing that I need to remark regarding the whitewash is that most of the campsites are on the shore of lakes, with the background of the mountain range. That makes I think more spectacular because in the nights, you can see the sky, the mountains, and the lake. If you like the astrophotography or you are amateur photographer, it's spectacular. Besides to see more places, and that extra thing in the nights is amazing.
And I have some great photos. We have a big photo in our basement of my wife feeding a donkey at a lake with an enormous mountain behind. And yeah, that's what I remember. Just the campsites were incredible. That's one thing. So when I was in Peru, it was entirely camping, but that was over 10 years ago. Is it still for these three treks, is it entirely camping based? Or have there been some guest houses or hotels sprung up that trekkers can use?
No, all the treks in Santa Cruz, in Alpamayo, in Huaywash are made camping. There are no guest houses. In whitewash, it's possible to changing a little bit the plan. We visit a small village called Guayapa. There are local people who offer their house to spend nights, but it's not common. So the most of the expeditions, most of the trekking tours, as is our case, we offer all camping. Making the 12 days trek, we camp 11 nights.
And you mentioned villages. What about on Alpamayo or Santa Cruz? Do you go through little villages where you can kind of see how life is, these high mountains?
No, in Santa Cruz, we don't visit any village because it's completely, there are no any village on the way. But making the Alpamayo, yes, we visit in Hankarurish, I think is the number 4. We can interact with the people who live there, but we never have talked with them in order to visit their houses. But when we camp in that place, they come to offer us the things that they produce. Some handicrafts, sometimes they offer beers or things like that with their typical custom, with their hat, a special jacket, and so it's the only thing that we can see, but it's not possible to visit their houses. Maybe talking with them in the next years, it would be possible, because from the campsite to their house is very close, in just 5 minutes.
I think this is what makes this part of the world so incredible. You know, if you go to other mountain places where there are, you know, really good trekking, you know, you're kind of always around people. You're going from village to village, which has some benefits. But these treks are really, really wild. And, you know, you'll see other trekkers, you'll see some guides, you'll see some horses and donkeys. But just to spend, you know, a week or 2 weeks out in the mountains without anything else around is really a unique experience, and something that I think is what makes, you know, these three treks so special. I was wondering, when is the best time to go to these treks? You know, I know in winter it's very chilly, but what are the months where it's still comfortable to trek?
Yeah, in the Peruvian, in the Cordillera Blanca and in Cordillera Huayhuash, and in the Peruvian Andes in general, we have just two seasons, the wet season and the dry season. Right now, the first train arrived. So from October, from mid-October to end of March and until the mid-April, all those months we will be during the winter season. The best season to make treks and other activities in the Cordillera Blanca and or Cordillera Huayhuash is from mid-April to September. And being June, July, and August, the driest months. But from my experience, for me, the best month to make a trek in this area is May, because it's a transition month between the wet season and the dry season. It's something that we call the Andean spring, because the mountain is covered with fresh snow and the hills are greener, and it's nicer. But it's possible to have a couple of days of rain, but compared with the experience to have fresh snow in the mountains and the landscapes are greener, and it would be better. But in general, the best season to make is from mid-April to September.
And my experience, I think we went in August. It was really nice and warm during the day. It was very comfortable. But as soon as the sun went down, it got so cold, and we put all of our down on. But, you know, we thought, oh, look at, we're near the, you know, we're so far, so close to the equator. It's going to be warm, but it is still really cold at night, isn't it?
Yeah. And as we are very close to the tropics, during the day, the temperature we can have 18 degrees Celsius. But when, as you said, in the night, it drops until minus 5. All the time recommend to the people who visit, if you want to make a trek in the Peruvian Andes, we recommend to wear like an onion with different layers. You must be prepared for a hot day and also for the coldest night or coldest afternoon. So put at least 3 or 4 layers. If it is hot, you take off, and if it is cold, you put on.
Yeah, I remember debating, do I bring my heavy kind of Canadian winter down coat, or do I bring like my autumn down coat? In the end, I brought my Canadian winter down coat. I was like so thankful I had that, because everyone was just shivering at night. The last thing is, you mentioned it a little bit. When I was there, they used donkeys to transport all your gear. So, you know, one of the nice things is when you're at elevation, you don't have to worry about carrying your, you know, a tent and all your food and all your gear. Is that still the case, that donkeys are used for you know, people's luggage and all the common group gear?
Yeah. If you take a guided trek, the company who will arrange the trek will offer you that the transportation of your equipment using donkeys and or horses. There are people who make by their own backpacking beds very, very demanding. It's very, very difficult, because imagine to carry the things for 10 days, 25, 30 kilos the first days. I think it's not to enjoy. It's something like punishment, something like that. But I think that is not recommended to make a hike in Huayhuash, because the altitude and the longest. So it's better to take a guided trek where you will have the option to be carried your equipment, your food, all the things by pack animals. and taking a guided trek, you don't have to worry to carry that, because you only carry your day pack, where you will put your water bottle, your jacket, your waterproof gear for that day, and your snack, only to dedicate to see the mountain range, to enjoy. I think that if you want to make a trek in Wagwash, I would really recommend to make using a guided trek. But in the other case, it will be very difficult.
You know, I couldn't agree more. I know when I was in Nepal, you know, I just carried all my own stuff. It was, you know, the routes were very clear. But you had villages every, you know, couple hours where you could get food and drink. And so I didn't have to carry a tent or a cooker or any of my food. I was just carrying my clothes. Whereas in the Wiwash, you're right, you know, going, you know, all of a sudden going to 4,000 meters with 10 days of food, a water filter, a tent, you know, all your cooking gear, that's a super, super heavy pack. And it's a lot nicer to have a guide and some donkeys. And the best thing I found was just, you know, you wake up and you have a hot breakfast made for you. You know, you don't have to wake up and freeze in the cold. You know, the guides, you know, make all the meals, which just makes it, you know, more time to appreciate the beauty of this incredible part of the world.
The problem to make backpacking in Wiwash is that you don't have the option to rest or to buy food on the way, because there are no guest houses on the road. You need to carry all your stuffs, and you need to carry all the food, because the only village making Wiwash you will visit is Guayapa. In Guayapa, you can carry a little bit of food, but carrying for 8 or 10 days, it's not easy. So it's better if you have the option to, if they want to make Wiwash, I would strongly recommend to taking a guided trek.
Definitely, definitely. You know, Christian, this has been great to talk. And I'm just, you know, as you've been talking, I've just been having the visions in my mind of, you know, going over passes and looking down over desolate valleys, and just, you know, even just the drive to get to Juarez, you know, was fun. So for me, this has just been a great trip down memory lane. I thank you for sharing this. And as Peru continues to open up, as the pandemic recedes, I just think it's, you know, it's such a great way to kind of celebrate the end of the pandemic, to do an epic trip like going to, you know, the Cordillera Blanca or the Cordillera Wiwash, to really explore a different culture, a different landscape, and a really beautiful and challenging trek. So thank you so much for being on the podcast and sharing all this today.
Yeah, I think after to have been some, we say that we have closed it almost 1 year in our houses due to the COVID, make to be in contact with the nature is one of the best options. And in our case, we would recommend to visit Peru, and if there are people who love to make outdoor activities like hiking and camping, I think in South America, it's a good option. It's an option because we have here the highest mountain range of the tropics, and the access are not very close from the main cities, for example, from Juarez, and to get to the mountain range is just 4 hours, 5 hours by car. And if we would have some kind of problems on the mountain range, it is easy to contact in order to be evacuated to the main city like Juarez. And the other thing is that in Juarez we have different options for visitors, and we have hotels, restaurants, and we have clinics and hospitals, and where the visitor can be secure. And the other thing is that we have different options. For people who don't want to spend many days, we can offer day hikes. People who have just 1 week, we have short treks like Santa Cruz. For people who have more days like Alpamayo, or for people who like a little bit more adventures, we have option like Wiwash. So that's it. And the other thing is from Lima to Juarez is not very difficult. I hope the next year we would have the flights, because the last 2 years it was closed.
I like the bus. The bus is, you know, it takes, I think it took 8 or 9 hours, but it was a really beautiful way to kind of see a different part of Peru. So, sometimes bus journeys suck. It was a nice bus, at least when I went, and just, you know, looking out at the Pacific Ocean and all the sand dunes, and then kind of, you know, going up through the foothills to the mountains. I thought it was a great bus journey personally.
I would like to mention about that. Yeah, we have very, very good companies, bus companies from Lima to Huaraz. They have a special service where you can, more than travel, you have something like a tour. Because as you said, you can see from the Pacific Ocean and gradually how change the landscape to the different altitudes from Peru. Lima located at sea level, you gradually go up to get to Conococha located to 4,100 meters. All that way you will see how all the things change according to the altitude in Peru. And so you have a journey of 8 hours where you will see all the things that happens from the sea to the mountains, how the landscapes change from the sands to see the mountain in around 7 or 8 hours. Also, that is very, very interesting. And with an extra service, with a good bus companies, where even you will have the meals. If you travel in the morning, you will have the lunch. If you travel in the night, you will have the dinner. And with service on board,
it's like business class on an airplane. It really is. People think bus; it's nothing like that. So I want to say thanks, Christian. I'm also going to put in links to all the tours we mentioned on the podcast. I'll put links in the show notes so people can check these out. I know next summer is going to be really busy, so now is almost the time for people to start thinking about what they want to do in the summer of 2022, because it is going to be, you know, I think all of South America is going to be really, really popular because it is such an incredible place to explore. But I just want to say thanks. I loved hearing about these treks and hearing more about this beautiful part of the world. So thank you very much for being on the podcast.
No, thank you to you to have the time to call with to talk with me. And it was a pleasure for me to show a little bit more about the mountain range we have here in the north of Peru.
And it was incredible to hear it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the 10 Adventures podcast. If you liked it, why not give us a review? Better yet, subscribe and get inspired again and again. Also, if you want to find your own adventures, why not check out 10adventures.com, where you can use our free resources to plan your own trip or book a tour in over 60 countries and make your own epic memories on your next adventure.